News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Could the carbon footprint of your milk bar of chocolate be higher than that of a bag of almonds from California? Well, that question could be answered with new proposals to introduce carbon labelling of food products by some retailers in the UK. And in a bid to highlight CO2 emissions caused by foreign foods, there's calls now in the UK to introduce carbon labelling on food products by some retailers. Well, joining us is environmental journalist John Gibbons. John, will you just outline, first of all, what is carbon labelling?
Well, it's a concept, Andrea, that's been kicked around for a while. For example, back in 2007, Tesco UK had planned to carbon footprint all of its 70,000 products. And then after a few years, they kind of gave up and abandoned it. They found it a very complex thing. But briefly, what carbon footprinting is about is assessing on a product-by-product basis, say in the case of food, the total carbon dioxide emissions for the production, transportation, distribution of a given amount of food. So, for example, you mentioned imported food. That's certainly one case in point. And for example, if you take, say, a kilogram of asparagus, which is quite a low carbon food, but let's say that asparagus is grown in South America and flown to Ireland, that kilogram of asparagus will generate nearly 9 kilograms of carbon dioxide. So that tells you that, for example, flying in foods long distance adds greatly to the overall carbon footprint, even though the food itself is a relatively efficient food, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And what we find, there was a big study of this done actually in the US a number of years back, what they call a full life cycle assessment of greenhouse gas emissions. And what they found really are that the foods that create the big CO2 impact are actually foods that are pretty common, I suppose, here in Ireland. Right. So, for example, they found that a kilogram of lamb, okay, produces almost 40 kilograms of CO2, which is quite extraordinary. And a kilogram of beef, these are US figures, by the way, so they do change somewhat from country to country. A kilogram of beef produced 27 kilograms of carbon dioxide, which is huge.
Okay. Yeah. So is it similar to, we'll say, for instance, you know, people would be familiar with the suggestion of calorie counting, you know, on the likes of menus and maybe the nutritional value, you have your salt and your fat content on products. Is that how it might be rolled out? I know in the UK, for instance, that the details haven't yet been agreed on the mechanics of this. But if you were to introduce something like this, is that how you do it? That maybe on the front of the bar of chocolate or in the front of the packet of asparagus, you'd have the carbon labelling figures there, just very clear for people to see.
Yeah, and I think if we take, for example, the food labelling systems, which have been around for donkey's years, many of them are impenetrably complicated. They tell you things like kilocalories, and I often peer at these, as I'm sure you do, from time to time and wonder what they mean. So the most effective type of labelling, for example, for a carbon labelling, would be a traffic light labelling. In other words, a green, orange and red system that basically at a glance, when you're going around a supermarket, Andrea, you or I, we don't have the time to be peering at every individual product. So what you want instead is, as you put your hand out, say, to reach for whatever food stuff that you're about to buy, that you can see, well, this is actually red. This is a high carbon product. Maybe I'll take the one beside it, which is orange, or better again, I'll go for the green labeled product. And it's simply, it's front of the mind awareness of this. It isn't about telling people what to buy.
It's interesting. It's actually a group of retailers and businesses in the UK that have teamed up to develop what they're calling this, you know, decarbonisation roadmap to try and help various different industries meet commitments. And as you say, they are just simply to basically educate me and you and the public about carbon labelling. Do you think, do we need a decarbonisation roadmap now like that here?
Well, I think so. And I think if we were to roll out carbon labelling like that in Ireland, I think people would be surprised, because the foodstuffs that we mostly produce in Ireland are, in fact, they're right at the top of the carbon emissions output. So, for example, our biggest exports here, beef, dairy, cheese, and so on, these are all really, really high carbon. And you might say, well, they're produced locally and they're largely grass-fed. Even allowing for that fact, they produce what's called ruminant agriculture, which is basically beef and sheep. They produce so much methane emissions that when you consume these foods, basically you're accounting for disproportionate amount of emissions.
Okay.
So, of course, most of these are exported, as we know, but that remains the case. So I think, I imagine if there's efforts made in Ireland, Andrea, to introduce this labelling, it'll be fought tooth and nail by the production sector, I suspect.
Right. Okay, well, I was going to ask you, did you think that there might be an appetite from the public for something like this? And maybe that's something we'll ask our listeners this morning. Do you think, should we introduce a carbon labelling system like this, like what John has mentioned, the idea of a sort of a red, amber and a green light system on the front of food products? You can let us know your view this morning, 5 through 106 at a cost of 30 cent. We'll leave it there. Environmental journalist John Gibbons, thanks for joining us on the programme.